Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been worried about someone or something that maybe you shouldn't have been that worried about? So, for example, this, back several years ago now, when I was going through Air Force basic training, our drill instructors there certainly instilled fear into us, but every now and then they spoke to us gently and helped remind us that they're transforming us into civilians, into airmen. Now, throughout our lives, regardless of our occupations, whether it's military, agricultural, or anything, we need words of encouragement to assure us of who is for us and not against us. Again, a prime example of this, we see this fear and need of reassuring playing out in our gospel reading from St. Mark. Now, a little bit of context about where we are in St. Mark. Jesus had just fed over 5,000 people with seemingly unlimited bread, and now the crowds want to come and make Jesus their bread king. So what Jesus does is he goes away, he gets into his boat, and he goes, takes his disciples off, leaves them in the boat, and he goes off to a mountain to pray. Now, during the fourth watch of the night, St. Mark tells us, and that would be somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., so there's no daylight out, nothing like that, pitch black, the disciples see something off in the distance, and it terrifies them. They see Jesus, and he's walking on water. Why is it scary? They're expert fishermen. It's what they used to do for a living. And they know firsthand that men and women do not walk on water. In all of this, they realize that Jesus is someone they cannot control. That was the whole point of the feeding of the 5,000 and the people wanting to control Jesus to make him this earthly king. The disciples, in their fear, needed to be reminded that, yes, Jesus loves them. He's for them. He comes in love, not in wrath. And what's more is that this whole experience that the disciples are going through, seeing Jesus walking on water, all of this is taking place while they're on a boat. Boats are always on water. And water, especially if you take a look at the Old Testament, it's not a friendly place. It's full of chaos, full of uncertainty. Storms can arise. Water is unpredictable. There's unrest. No matter how good of a fisherman you may be, no matter how good or fancy your boat is, let's face it, you cannot control the sea. There is only one person who has control over the sea. This he who made it, the very one who now walks upon the sea, who ushers in peace, calmness, tranquility in the midst of chaos and unrest. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, like the disciples and crowds in our gospel reading, we, especially as a society, want to have a Jesus that we can control. In St. John's account, after Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000, Jesus perceived by a miracle that the people were going to try to make him a king by force. They liked that free dinner, so how about having Jesus provide for their every meal? Yes, we want to make God comfortable. We want to make him easy to handle. We want to treat him like a big Santa in the sky that gives us whatever we want, when we want it. But we also kind of want him to stay out of our lives, comes around once a year, so that we are free to do whatever we want. But then if the going gets rough, he'll always be there somewhere for us to nestle up to him and get comfort. We don't really think of God of being all that frightening, do we? How quick are we to forget those words that Dr. Martin Luther wrote that we memorized, I'm sure, in our confirmation class? after each of the Ten Commandments. We should fear and love God. Even King David, the psalmist, writes, "Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So with this fear of God, we like to take God in halves to make him more comfortable. We want the promise of eternal life without the threat of eternal condemnation. We want Easter Sunday without Good Friday. We want Jesus to be a comforting blanket that we can wipe our eyes on when we're sad or scared. Because what will a blanket do? Get angry? Smother you? No. It's harmless. But when we look at Holy Scripture, we find that God is not always the most comfortable guy to be around. He crushes sinners. He drives away those that reject him. He burns whole towns that reject his mercy and grace. Consider Old Testament from Genesis. If there is one story that always ends up in our children's coloring books, it's going to be this one, Noah's Ark. I have a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 6-month-old, and they got a little Tykes Noah's Ark kit that they always play with. But if we're honest with ourselves, the reality of the story of Noah's Ark, it's not cute, it's not comfortable, even though we try to make it to be. Because the children are not coloring or playing with all the dead bodies of humans and creatures that are flowing next to the ark, are they? No. God is punishing the world for sin in this account. But we have to make God comfortable. So the fear of God is what brings us to our reading today. Consider Noah and everything that must be going through his head. He sees all the destruction around him. He sees all the death, decay, all of it. God hasn't spoken to him for 40 days and 40 nights. All he's experienced is a horrifying rainstorm and a flood. For Noah, how does he know that God won't do this again? All this destruction that God brings about because of sin, what if I mess up again? How do I know that later on God won't destroy me or my family? Noah needed the comforting word of God. He needed God to show up and speak to him. And so God does. Now, the English translation of our text, that God set his bow in the sky, really, in the Hebrew language, has a little bit much stronger context that I want to kind of pull out here. When God says this phrase while placing his bow in the sky, when he's talking to Noah about this, what God is really saying is that he is hanging up his bow of his wrath that was shooting down arrows of wrath upon the earth. He's setting that bow of wrath up upon the sky, up in the sky. And he will never do that flood again. When you see the bow in the sky, remember the promise I've given to you. God's word and promise is attached to this rainbow. And the same is true for us today. Every time you see a rainbow outside, be assured that the Lord's promise to Noah is the same promise made to you. God will never again flood the earth. He has hung up the bow, and you know that God is for you, not against you. Fast forward to our gospel reading. The disciples in their boat needed that word of God too. The disciples again see Jesus walking out on the water and they lose their minds because men and women again don't walk on water. For them, seeing Jesus in the flesh wasn't enough. The disciples needed the spoken word of Christ. They needed Jesus' promise, "It is I." They needed his blessing. "Don't be afraid. I'm not against you. I'm for you." And so it is with us, dear Christians, this morning. No doubt that there are strong winds, rains, waves crashing upon you, and whatever that might look like and your own life. Maybe a loved one is sick. Maybe concern is over a child or a grandchild that has walked away from the faith. Is God really for me? Is he angry with me? Is he punishing me? Is there any hope in my situation? We, like Noah, like the disciples, we desperately need that word of God spoken to us. But sinfully, we want to find God in any other way than his word. So many times, even as a pastor, I've heard members say to me, well, I can find God out in nature. Sure, out in nature, whether it's the Grand Canyons, the Badlands, maybe the Mississippi River here. Yes, God is there, but that's not where you find God's mercy. That's not where we find the spoken word of God. We need his word that speaks to our peace, speaks peace to our fears, reminds us that he is for us, not against us, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love that he has for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why we come to church. We gather together as a community of saints to hear that spoken word of God. Here in this holy, sacred house is where we listen and hear that word of God promised to us. A rainbow by itself is just a reflection of water and light, but attached to God's word is a promise that God's wrath will be poured out upon Christ and not upon us. The water in the baptismal font by itself is just plain water. But when the word of God is attached to it, God's promise is given. That word, that water actually does something. It grants you to become a child of God, your sins washed away, you given the holy triune divine name. Christ's victory is your victory. And the Lord's Supper, in just a few moments, that bread and wine sitting there right now is just bread and wine. But when Jesus' words are spoken by it, in accordance to his divine command, his promise is given to it. That word, that bread and wine, miraculously, is with and under Christ's true body and Christ's true blood. That's given to us to forgive our sins, assure us of the eternal life that we have in Christ, and sustain our faith in him. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we need these promises each and every week. Are you worried that God's wrath is against you? Do not fear. Because his wrath was poured out on Christ when he was crucified on the cross for you. His body is now given to you to eat, his blood shed for you to drink. God's word is for you, not against you. His words comfort you, and his gifts are given to you freely. God is not angry with you. The sacrifice for sins is whole and complete in his Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Therefore, this morning, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, like Noah, like the disciples, hear that word of God and be comforted. Jesus is here in this church, giving himself for you today, tomorrow, until he comes again on that glorious last day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.